magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Thursday, April 20th, 2017, and we'll jump right into the conclusion of a special two-hour broadcast that I've broken into four parts, covering Monday through today's edition of Mark and Friends. The special is an adaptation of Colin S. Smith's book, Heaven, How I Got Here, and it's a radio drama depicting the first-person account of the conversion of the thief on the cross. Yesterday's program concluded with Christ's death on the cross, with evil demonic powers at work, but there's always hope in Jesus, and you'll see the effect it had on this thief, as read and narrated by actor Stephen Baldwin.
Seeing what Jesus suffered and hearing him cry out in agony had a profound effect on me. From childhood, I had been told that God's law was given to show us our sins. That's true. But I have to tell you that the clearest view I ever got of the ugliness of my sin was not in reading the Ten Commandments, but in being near to Jesus in that awful darkness on the cross. I began to see that if my sins caused him so much suffering, they must be very great indeed. I learned to hate my sins at the cross. The rebellion that once tasted sweet, the covetous heart that once drove me forward, my hatred and unbelief toward God, and my self-willed desire all seemed ugly and repulsive to me as I saw what they had done to Jesus. His cry of anguish tore me apart. If he was given up for my sins, what sin would I not give up for him? That took hold of me. My greatest desire was to be done with any and every sin that had ever gained a foothold in my life. I found myself longing to be holy, to be filled with the love that I had seen in Jesus' eyes, and to live a life that would please him. I only had a few hours left for that. I hope you have much longer.
You're listening to Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross, and really a compelling story of how the thief ended up in heaven. If you want to learn more about this, I do hope you'll come check out the website, unlockingthebible.org. Stay tuned. We'll continue the story after this.
Pastor Colin Smith of Unlocking the Bible.
Many people know some stories from the Bible, the story of Noah's Ark or Moses crossing the Red Sea or David and Goliath. But over all these stories, there is a big story that has the power to change your life.
Because the whole Bible is God's story.
It begins in a garden, it ends in a city, and all the way through, it's about Jesus Christ. And we want Jesus Christ to be the center of everything we do. It's not about you. It's certainly not about me. It's all about him. We want you to know Jesus Christ and to experience his power in your life. And Unlocking the Bible exists so that you will experience the power of the open book. God's word is life-giving and it's life-sustaining.
So check out the materials at our website, unlockingthebible.org. That's unlockingthebible.org.
Chapter 8, Triumph, 3 p.m. His voice pierced the silence like the blast of a trumpet. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. No one ever died like this. Have you ever heard of someone whose last words were spoken with a loud voice? When a man dies, his voice becomes weaker and weaker until it is no more than a whisper. And then he is gone. Nobody shouts at the moment of his own death, but Jesus did. Christ entered into death not in defeat, but in triumph. He was in complete control. He accomplished everything he had come to do and gave himself into death. Then all hell broke loose. The earth beneath me shook, causing the beam on which I was suspended to lurch violently. The shock was agonizing. The crowd, whose jeering had been quieted by the darkness, now erupted in panic and confusion. People screamed as the tremors ripped through the city. Cracks began to open in the ground. Was this the end? I knew my time had almost run out. But had humanity's time run out too? We had just crucified God's Son. God's justice had to fall. I closed my eyes and I held my breath, bracing myself against whatever came next. The commander who was responsible for overseeing our executions looked up at Jesus' lifeless body and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." The soldiers, who a few hours before had cast lots for Jesus' robe, now looked at each other in fear and terror. What have we done? For me, there was a strange comfort. The man who had carried out my execution now shared my faith. In those surreal moments after the quake, the crowd dispersed into the shadows. They were frightened. They were confused what had just happened. Then, as suddenly as the darkness had descended on us hours before, it lifted. The lifeless body of Jesus hung in silence a few feet away from me, and having staked everything on him, I now felt completely alone. I thought I would be the first to die and that he would send me ahead of him. It never occurred to me that he would die first. Right before Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." When was I ever able to say that? My life was a tangle of loose ends. Nothing was complete. My mother poured all her energy into the pursuit of a godly life. But for all of her relentless effort, the feeling of incompleteness haunted her. She found it hard to rest because she always felt there was more to do, more that was required. Nothing was ever enough. She was right in saying that there is no rest for the wicked. I knew that to be true. But as far as I could see, there isn't much rest for people who try to be righteous either. It is finished. Now there's something that neither I nor my mother could ever have said. But Jesus said it with a shout of triumph. The reason his voice was so strong at the moment of his death was that Jesus did not slide into death as a victim. He marched into death as a conquering warrior. What he had come to do was done. But what was finished? What had he accomplished? Clearly, Jesus' life on earth was finished. As soon as he had said these words, Jesus gave his spirit into the hands of the Father, and he died. That his life had been a good one was obvious to me. Even back then on the cross, I knew that he was a righteous man and that he was suffering unjustly. That was why I said, "This man has done nothing wrong." Being with him in heaven, I now see that Jesus did everything that God calls you and me to do on earth, and kept all of the commandments. He loved God with all his heart and loved his neighbor as himself. He did this completely, consistently, and without even a shadow of compromise. His life was an unbroken stream of love and faithfulness, joyfully offered to God. I was nowhere near that target. Thieves love themselves more than their neighbors. That is why they break in and steal. And as for loving God, I didn't know the first thing about love. That's why on the last day of my life, I began to fear God. I knew that I had not kept his commandments. I knew that I was not righteous, not even close. Where do you go from there? You haven't done what God calls you to do. Your best efforts have come up short. You have failed to keep his Ten Commandments, and you can't relive the past. This was painfully obvious to me as I hung on the cross. With every hour that passed, I was being pressed ever closer to my exit from this world, and I had no way of pulling back. But here's what I discovered. To my great joy, the Son of God became a man to live the life that I had failed to live. He finished what I had barely started. Jesus was and is everything God had called me to be. When I trusted Jesus, God made me one with him. All that was mine, God counted as his, and all that was his, God counted as mine. It was as if my sin-spattered soul was draped in the purity of the perfect life of Jesus, so that I could stand before God with the confidence to which Jesus himself would be entitled. If it had not been for Jesus, I would still be locked in an endless conflict with God. I would still be angry with him. I would still feel that he owed me a better life and a better eternity. My anger and rebellion against God would have grown stronger and more futile in eternity. I would still be standing with my little sword, trying to take on the Almighty. It's a ridiculous picture, isn't it? And it's clearer to me than ever before that my fight with God is a fight that I could never win. You don't have to live one more minute of your life locked in conflict with God either. You can put down your sword today. You can rest from this battle. This is a war you could never win. Now you don't have to. Jesus laid down his life so you could know real peace with God for all of eternity. Chapter 9, Safety, 5:38 p.m. The lifeless body of Jesus was still hanging on the cross beside me. Beyond him, the other victim had exhausted himself and, though still breathing, had become largely silent. Where had Jesus gone? He told me, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Today meant before sundown, and he said, "with me." So he would be there too. I believed him. So there was no doubt in my mind that Jesus was in heaven already. He had gone there ahead of me. When Jesus died, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He had no doubt about where he was going. His body remained on the cross until it was taken down and laid in the tomb, but his spirit went immediately into the presence of his Father in heaven. At the moment of his death, Jesus was translated from the agony of suffering in the body to the conscious enjoyment of life in heaven. And he had promised the same to me. Time seemed to stretch on forever. Then, suddenly, there was movement. Someone had come out from the city. The soldiers immediately stood at attention. New instructions were given. Kill the criminals, bury the bodies, take down the crosses. So the soldiers turned and walked purposefully toward me, armed with their clubs. One swing to the head with one of those would kill a man. And if there was any interest in relieving my pain, they could have ended my life in an instant. But that was not what they had in mind. My legs were their target. I screamed out as the first blow slammed into my knees, then the second, and then the third. My body sagged, suspended, but no longer supported. Unbearable pain seared through my aching hands. Without the support of my legs, I no longer had the strength to lift my body and to breathe. Only a few minutes longer. They moved to the victim on the other side of Jesus and broke his legs too. "Now this one," said one of the soldiers as they came to Jesus. "He's already dead. Make sure. We don't want any doubt." The soldier pulled back with his spear and with full force rammed it into the side of Jesus' body, ripping it open with a huge gash from which his blood spilled out onto the ground. That was the last thing I saw on earth. I sometimes wondered what the journey of my soul leaving my body would be like. Being launched out like a shivering ghost, lost and alone in the unknown vastness of space. The thought was terrifying me. But the reality was very different. It felt for me like moving through a tunnel at lightning speed. The release was sweet. After hours of pain, I closed my eyes and was set free. When the moment came, I knew I was not alone. I was accompanied. I was carried. I was taken up. And I was welcomed by Jesus himself. Death is a dark place, but Jesus had already been through it, and he had made it a safe place for me. And watching now from the other side, I've seen millions of people come through safely because of him. If you want to know more about heaven, you'll have to wait till you get here yourself. All I can say is that this is a place of greater joy than you have ever tasted. Think of your happiest moment on earth and then multiply that happiness a million times and make it last forever. Heaven is better than you can imagine. So that's my story. Heaven. How I got here. And I'm telling it so you will get here too. No one gets in automatically. It's Jesus who gets you here. Heaven is his home. He holds the key. He opens the door. And if you become his, heaven will be yours. My story proves that getting into heaven depends on Jesus and on Jesus alone. It's Jesus who gets you in. He opens the door for people who believe his word and trust themselves to him. That's what I did. And you can do that too. Think about what I did. I confessed to Jesus. I faced the fact that my sins were many, and that if death took me to the outer darkness of hell, I was in no position to complain. Now, you might be thinking, I'm not as bad as the thief on the cross, and that may be true. But your need is as great as mine. So don't push away what I'm saying, because you are better than me. God does not grade on a curve, and at the end of the day, we are all in the same position. We come up short of His high calling. Tell Him that your sins are many. Tell Him that you have been trying to make your own way in life apart from Him. Tell Him that you've been trying to make your own way to heaven apart from Him. Tell Him you are done with that. Tell Him you are ready to follow Him, obey Him, trust Him, love Him, and serve Him as He gives you strength. Then ask Him to save you. That's what I did. I asked, Jesus, I said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You can have confidence in asking. God's love for you is so strong that He gave His Son. You can be sure that when you come to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you and save you, He will not turn you away. Not now, not ever. So ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life right now. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Ask Him to give you peace with God. And ask Him to give you strength by His Spirit to live in a way that is pleasing to Him. And when you ask, you must believe. Asking arises from faith in who Jesus is and in what He promises. Believing in Jesus, you ask Him for what He has promised and trust Him that it will be yours. I asked on the last day of my life, and Jesus opened the door of heaven for me. Don't say it's too late for you, because it's not. You can believe in Jesus and ask Him to save you today. Please don't wait until the last day of your life. God is speaking to you now, right now. He is reaching out to you in love and mercy. He is ready to save you. Your asking will be the beginning of a new adventure in trusting in Jesus. It only lasted a few hours for me, but whether it be hours, days, months, years, or decades, trusting Christ will be the new dynamic of your life. Don't expect it to be easy. Your faith will be tested as mine was. You may experience days of great darkness. You may go through times when you feel that God is far from you. You may experience great pain in your body as I did, or great pain in your soul. But His presence is with you, and the strength He gives will get you through. My faith was tested from the time I trusted Jesus right up to the end. When the moment of my death drew near, it seemed as if all the worst things I had ever done flashed across my dulling mind. My sins were real, alive, fresh, and present, and they were many. It felt as if I would drown in them, that my sins would overwhelm me and damn me forever. All I could do was trust the promise of Jesus. Today, you will be in paradise. He had given His word, and I found hope in believing that His commitment to bring me into heaven would be stronger than everything that would conspire to keep me out. Trusting in Jesus begins with a decision, a commitment, and a prayer. But it's more than that. Trusting Jesus is a way of life. Looking back, I see that I wasted my years on earth. I lived for myself. I failed to love God. But that changed when I met Jesus Christ. The King captured my mind. His love and care for me laid hold of my heart. If I had been given a longer life on earth, I would have lived it for Him. No question. That gift was not given to me. But right now, it is being given to you. So please cherish every day you have and live in a way that honors your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus gives all of us who trust Him a whole new purpose and desire. It's not so much that you are living for something. You are living for someone. The one who loved you and gave himself for you. The one that you are going to share the unending joys of heaven with. The one who one day will welcome you into heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Powerful way to wrap up this broadcast, looking at the person of Jesus, who he is, and what he has done for us in offering us salvation, and Colin, a powerful reminder that salvation is only through Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. And if the thief on the cross can enter into heaven, as indeed he did, so can you. And you can do it not because you have the answer in yourself, but because of Jesus Christ, who died there on the cross to open the door into heaven, which is his home. And the thief, although he was about as far from God as a person could possibly be, he turned and he asked and he trusted. And you can do that too. You too can turn to Jesus, ask of Jesus, and trust in Jesus. And you too, one day, will be with him in his presence in heaven. That's how the thief got there. That's how you can get there too.
Well, thank you, Colin. If you have questions still about how you can be in heaven in Jesus' presence one day, I do hope you'll come and visit our website. It's unlockingthebible.org. This has been Heaven How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross. Thanks for listening.
A powerful story and powerful words that you can be born again and be assured everlasting life with the Lord Jesus Christ as you turn and surrender to Him. If you'd like to talk to someone who could answer questions about the Christian faith or share with you how you can have a relationship with God, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. The entirety of this broadcast, Heaven, How I Got Here, can be accessed at greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.